Hello, you're listening to Real Mums MK, and I am Helen, and this is Sarah.
Hello!
Hello! thank you for such a good response to our last podcast, our very first podcast. So we had such a good response that we thought we'd do another one. So big thank you to Laura from Milton Keynes Kids, who reposted our podcast last time, and we had some great responses. To the subject where we were talking about what your children call their genitals.
Bits.
Yeah. So we thought we would, before we go any further, we thought that we would just share some of the funniest ones, some of the really good ones that we had.
Okay, so Tara Fair, thanks Tara, she said she remembers her son at four announcing very loudly in Tesco's that boys have willies and girls have... ankles. He's nearly 17 and he often gets reminded of this. Charlene said Willy and Nunu. I love this one from Kerry Davis. My daughter asked why daddy's belly button was so big. Lucky daddy or yeah. Lucky Kerry. But we call it a Willy, and a girl has a mini. She's three, which is really, really sweet. But Kerry is now dreading going to Disneyland.
Oh dear.
Leanne Butler said we have two boys and they refer to their private areas as their fellas.
Okay.
Lucy says my little boy calls everyone's privates their wee wee and my little girl calls it Willy and Noonie. That sounds like an American TV show. I'm sure my kids watch that on Nicktoons.
I'm sure there'll be people who, what was that program? Oh, with the egg. What's his name?
Mork and Mindy.
I'm sure there'll be people somewhere who have Morks and Mindys. That would be good.
Robin Williams would be turning.
If you're thinking of what to call your children's bits, how about Mork
and Mindy? Yeah, I can go with that. But we have to sort of finish it with from Nikki Hunt, who's... No, don't make me.
Oh,
Nikki Hunt says...
No. You're going to have to say it.
The cutesy names make me cringe. I don't see an issue with teaching them the correct terms. My daughter calls hers a vulva.
Thank you for that, Nikki. So that was what happened last time. Thank you so much for the responses. This is podcast two. And coming up on the podcast today, we have... Well, one of the most stressful things that they say you have to deal with in life is death, also divorce and moving house. We have one more to add to the list. Homework.
And you can keep your Legoland. I win the Cheapskate Mum Award for entertaining my kids.
And confession time. From me, but maybe from you as well, it would seem that it's not just the children who are eating the Easter eggs. More about that during the podcast.
The Real Mums of MK.
So we've just had the Easter holidays, long 2.5 weeks off. Lovely. But of course you've got that ongoing battle of what do you do to entertain the kids.
Without spending a huge amount of money.
Without spending a huge amount of money. Well, I don't know about you, but my timeline was full of my friends really showing off about the amazing thing that they'd done with their kids. I saw Legoland. I saw holidays here, there and everywhere. I saw days out in the park with hundreds of parents and friends that had all been organised, and I think they'd been baking all day and these amazing things that were going on. And it wasn't quite as easy for me because, to start with, I was on my own because my husband didn't get any time off. I was trying to work as well. My kids are 7, 6 and 3. And to be honest, there's not an awful lot of stuff I can do with them on my own because you need two pairs of hands for a lot of things like swimming or whatever. So I sat down and I was beginning to feel like a really bad mum because everyone else is doing these fabulous things. And you can guarantee that when you go back into school, there's the what I did in my holidays
thing. We went to Lanzarote.
Oh, but I'm
not going to mention that.
You see? Shut up.
I'm not mentioning it.
Well, we didn't, you know. So I decided to, you know, I was feeling really, really bad about it and thinking I really am a bad mum and I'm going to look really awful when we go back and all these kids are doing these amazing things about what they did. And my kids would be like, well, we watched more SpongeBob and while mum worked in the office. So I came up with a bit of an alternative, really. I came up with some, frankly, cheapskate ideas, but okay. I'd like to call them creative, really. Okay, so the first one I did to entertain my kids... Can I just point out at this juncture, they did have a fabulous Easter holidays. But the first thing I did with my kids, took them on the park and ride.
Oh, nice.
Oh, got to be done. We went to Cambridge, parked up, put them on the bus. My three-year-old thought it was the most amazing thing in the world, especially because the bus was pink. She has gone on and on and on about this pink bus. Chalk one up to the cheapskate mum.
Tilda's quite keen on buses as well. I couldn't drive for a couple of years and had to use the buses. And I kind of got used to it, even though I'd looked down on buses for So many times. Oh, why would I want to travel on a bus?
Get you.
But you get a child on there, and she just loved it. She liked being up high. She just liked it in general. And we went on holiday to a place in York, and they had bendy buses.
No way.
And we were going to a museum, which she thought was boring. But the best part of her day was, so she was surfing with her dad on the bend. So when it goes around a corner, she loves rides. It was like a ride.
You see?
So exactly. So buses are brilliant.
There is something in this cheapskate idea. Do you know what my number two cheapskate idea was?
What's your number two?
Took them to IKEA. Shoved them in the play scheme. I got an hour to myself. Oh, everyone was happy. Job done. Cheap as chips.
Top tip for IKEA. The pick and mix there is a lot cheaper than the cinema. So if you just happen to pop in before you go to the Odeon, maybe, get yourself some pick and mix from there. It's about half the price.
Do you have to make it yourself?
top tip. There.
Yeah, good.
Oh, and also, if you've got a free family card, you get free tea and coffee weekdays.
See, I missed out on all that, and I thought I'd had a good enough time there anyway.
Yeah.
Number three, my kids love windmills. You know, so we go up to the wind farm near us. There's a great lay-by by the side of it. Parked up, gave them a fruit shoot. And a bag of crisps. Well, happy. Half an hour covered. Sorted. And then lots of my friends were taking their kids to the farm and, you know, the petting zoos and all the rest of it, watching the lambing and all the things. Didn't do that. I took them to Pets at Home. Well, why not? They had a lovely time looking round. My girls were like crazy about the rabbits and everything, and they were having a good look. All these animals that needed adopting. Spent a good hour in there. Kept them amused. Happy as Larry. Only thing was, wasn't quite as cheap as I planned.
Oh, really?
Bearing in mind, I came out with 3 Syrian hamsters, 2 lop-eared rabbits, and a guinea pig.
The Real Mums of MK.
It's very interesting, this podcast thing, in that you have to be very aware of who's listening. And I am not a massive fan of my parents listening to what I'm talking about on the podcast. My dad doesn't swear, you know, I don't think that they really appreciate what we do as radio presenters, and that sometimes you can exaggerate.
What? Never.
No, we're not exaggerating on this. That's the point of this being the real mums.
Absolutely.
My mum doesn't have a Facebook account, so she uses my dad's. Now, my dad only has maybe 8-9 friends on there, so literally everything I post on there or like on there, he will see, or my mum will see, and she doesn't actually know how to use it. So she just looks at the pictures. She doesn't understand what it means when I've liked something. She thinks I've written the post that I share.
Oh.
And she constantly starts a sentence with, "Oh, I noticed on Facebook that you'd liked, I don't know, Debenhams or something," which is just, it's driving me insane. I feel like a teenager again. But the worst thing is, quite often she will comment on things I've either posted or been tagged in. So she won't say anything that adds to the conversation.
Right.
She will literally randomly write her name.
What?
So it will come up with my dad, who's called Alec.
Yeah.
So he will seem to have posted, and she will write Tina, which is her name. And you just think, what?
What?
And I've said to her about it, and she just laughs it off. Or she will sometimes say no, or she'll sometimes say, in my dad's name, yes.
What does she think she's doing when she just types Tina?
Or maybe she just types a letter like K or W. I don't think she actually can handle a keyboard, to be honest. I think it might be accidental. Or perhaps she's a spy with a secret code. Who knows? But the fact that she's doing it just makes me really feel like a teenager, and it's as if she's trying to ruin my Facebook. And I know she's going to be listening to this, and I'm so sorry, Mum.
You know what you've got to start doing?
What?
You've got to start liking bondage pages and stuff.
Oh,
just
no,
for fun.
No,
it'd be hilarious.
No.
Come on. Alcoholics recovering or something. Go on. It'd be so funny. Let's build
Seriously.
Up this really fake profile. Go on. It would amuse her.
Listen.
It would amuse me.
I'm 42. It would amuse you. I'm 42 and I'm still embarrassed by my parents.
The Real Mums of MK.
So Matilda had a lot of Easter eggs. She had one from the grandparents, one from the other grandparents, one from the other grandparents, step-parents, yeah. One from my sister, another one from friends. You know, she's literally got a a shop full of
Cadbury
Easter
World
eggs.
In your kitchen.
So much so that they don't all fit in the one section of the cupboard. So I've had to kind of spread them around, which has worked in my favour because I have a confession to make. I sometimes, of an evening, after she's gone to bed, have a bit of a... I quite fancy some chocolate. Now, I didn't get any Easter eggs, which is frankly, do you? Which is frankly a crime that nobody thought to buy me any Easter eggs.
It's grounds for divorce, I'd say. Mm.
So I have a tendency to go and kind of pick at the ones that I think she won't notice. The great thing about having a six-year-old is that she is blessed with a six-year-old brain and she remembers random things. Like, I don't know, times tables and the names of the My Little Ponies. But she doesn't remember how many Easter eggs she's got. She didn't count them. And there are so many that I have noticed that I can take some stuff away from her without her even noticing. So I've had one bunny, one just plain old dairy milk, one Aero egg.
Right.
Just a little bit every night. And she hasn't even noticed. Now, I should feel guilty about this, really.
You should feel guilty about it.
Because I'm taking her chocolate, but she doesn't need it. It's a healthy thing for her to not have so much chocolate. It's really good for her to not have so much chocolate. So I'm not feeling guilty about this whatsoever.
Well, that's it. You keep justifying it to yourself. But let's get this straight here.
Okay.
Right. People have spent their hard-earned money on getting you... Getting your little girl Easter eggs.
Well,
did they buy them for you or did they buy them for Matilda?
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't want her to become obese.
Well, they wouldn't have bought them for her.
Or to become a diabetic.
Yeah, but... So they've bought all that stuff, which wasn't for you, it was for her, right?
Mm.
The second thing is, I don't want my kids to get fat or diabetes or whatever, but the fact is, when you're eating their chocolate, then they are going to miss it eventually. Someone's bought it for them. Now, I have the opposite thing here. With my kids, I am absolutely force-feeding them those Easter eggs. I want them down their neck, and I'll tell you for why. Firstly, when you eat loads of sugar, what do you need to do? You need to burn it off.
Yeah?
Yeah? Kids like running. Me? Not so much. So... So why should I get the diabetes? Feed the chocolate to them.
But they're not being given to you, are they?
No, exactly. But I don't want to eat them. They need to eat them, right? Because
okay.
They were given to them. People have spent their money.
Yeah.
So basically, I feed them the Easter eggs and I make them run. Kids like it. That's what they're there for. Number two. I want my children so sick of chocolate that they are begging me for broccoli.
I want them
on their knees. Mummy, please, no more chocolate. Just an apple, please.
That doesn't work, does it?
Of course it does.
Children can't get enough of chocolate.
In my ideal world, it works.
Oh,
but either way, I think what you've done is absolutely wicked. So I think that kids should just be given all the chocolate they want until they are absolutely hurling their guts up and can never see the sight of Cadbury's ever again.
I think you are the only person in the entire universe who thinks that. And if you don't, I do not believe that you don't do it.
No.
I do not believe that you do not have it. In fact, isn't that a... Hang on a second. Isn't that a smear of chocolate on your face?
Yeah, probably, but that's from my secret stash. The kids certainly aren't getting their hands on that one.
The Real Mums of MK.
So they say that the three most stressful things you can go through in life are death, divorce and moving house.
Mm.
But they missed off one really, really important one.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to do homework with your seven-year-old kid. Because honestly, after that, I could become a raging alcoholic. Because every week it's the same trauma. But this week was a particularly good one. So this week he comes home with a sheet and on it was written, the animal walked through the wood. And his homework was to expand that using adjectives and making it much more descriptive and just expand the sentence, okay? You'd think that'd be fairly easy.
Well, yeah.
So the animal walked through the wood. Mm. So we start off with the animal. I said, let's think about the animal, darling. What could the animal be? Let's think about describing the animal. And he said, ridiculous? I thought, okay, well, we can work with this. I'm all for encouraging their imagination. So I said, right, the ridiculous animal. Why is he ridiculous? Let's talk about that. I don't know.
It's like
okay.
Teeth, isn't it?
Well, I was kind of thinking more along the lines of brown and furry, but mm-hmm. Maybe let's think of something else. Okay, so let's take a step back here. You've got an animal walking through a wood, right? So think about your animal. Just take a minute in your head. And I'm being really calm by this point. You know when you sort of start to get a bit annoyed, but you're like, okay.
There's a tone in your voice,
but yes. You know. Have a little think about it, my darling. Think about that animal that's going to be walking through the wood. Have a think about it. Okay, and now I want you to describe that animal to Mummy, can you? Yes. He's still ridiculous. Okay, let's work with that. Well, let's... Okay, what type of animal is it walking through the wood? It's a giraffe.
Okay.
Okay, the giraffe. By this time, I'm like, the giraffe was walking through the wood. Giraffe!
Not just a giraffe, a ridiculous giraffe.
How many woods have you been in with giraffes walking through them? And I said to him, think about the Gruffalo. You know, the Gruffalo walks through a wood, and actually it's a deep, dark wood. Goodness me, aren't they great descriptive words? Think about the Gruffalo, and let's go back to the kind of animals that the Gruffalo might have seen.
You would be a great teacher.
I wouldn't mind, but my three-year-old is in the background going, fox! Fox! So the three-year-old gets it. The seven-year-old still got the giraffe in his head. We're still there, so we're carrying on. I thought, right, we'll go with that. So basically, so I said, okay, let's forget about the giraffe a minute. We'll stick with the ridiculous giraffe, but let's go through. Talk to me about the wood. Now think back again to the Gruffalo. How do they describe the wood? Think about how it feels, how it smells, how it looks. And I'm trying really hard to pull something out of him. Do you know what we've ended up with?
What?
His homework went in this week and it said, the ridiculous giraffe walked prettily through the wood. I should leave the teacher to deal with that one because by this time I was giving up. Mind you, it's not as bad as my six-year-old. Mm-hmm. Now, she had her homework and she had to come up with words using the trigraph U-R-E, as what? In pure.
What
so
does
U-R-E.
That mean?
Trigraph, three letters grouped together.
Oh, okay.
So U-R-E.
Okay.
So we're sitting there discussing. She's got to come up with all these words with sure, with ur in them. So we said to her, pure, cure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can you think of any more? Go through the letters in your head and see if you can come up with any more that fit that. So she thinks for a minute. She chews on the end of her My Little Pony pencil. She has a little look round. And then she looks me deep in the eye and replies, whore? Can't wait for the teacher to mark that one.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We will be back at some point in the future with podcast number 3.
Ooh.
If you have any comments about this podcast, then why not post on our Facebook page @RealMumsMK.